This is The Platform Rules, Digital Transformation for Product Companies, hosted by Propel. The Platform Rules continues with host Dario Ambrosini and today's special guest, Heather Moltoff from Propel customer Alert Innovation. Heather has been responsible for IT and product change management since she joined Alert in April of 2020. Early in her tenure there, they saw a need for an enhanced PLM system, which led to Alert's Propel deployment in May of 2021. Heather is passionate about all things related to program management, product development, change control processes, engineering change orders, and how to efficiently navigate people and processes. Let's get into this week's episode right now with Heather Moltoff.
My guest today is Heather Moltoff, Vice President of Information Systems and Product Change Processes at Alert Innovation. Heather, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Dario. It's my pleasure.
So Heather, you're uniquely qualified to cover the topic we want to discuss today, which is how the cloud is impacting high-tech companies. And the reason I feel you're qualified more than anybody else in our ecosystem here is because one, you've seen the evolution of technology going, supporting technologies like Propel, for example, going from on-prem to cloud to industry cloud. And second, Alert Innovation, whose tagline on your LinkedIn profile I love, improving people's lives through innovation. But Alert Innovation bringing together the high-tech robotic hardware side with a software side and combining it together, you're just doing some really innovative things. So we want to cover this evolution here over the course of the next half hour or so. So great. Let's dig in. When you're bringing together hardware and software, what are the big challenges that you see in your line of work?
So there are definitely a lot of challenges. There's a lot of coordination. And I think it's really important that we keep in our focus the customer, because from the customer's perspective, they don't really care if a problem is hardware or software. They just want problems to be resolved as fast as possible and completely. The other piece to the customer equation when it comes to products is they don't like to be surprised, especially about product change. So therefore, and I think what's interesting at Alert is we've combined, you know, business systems and processes with the change management of the product into an organization so we can make sure that we're really focused on building a robust closed loop change management system. It has to ensure control of change and really robust customer communication, because those are two key factors to customer satisfaction, whether they articulate it or not, right? It's not something that they talk about very often, but boy, do you know it when they're not happy. And then regardless of discipline, being hardware or software, it's really a challenge, I find, to get creators of any sort of change to understand, especially in the engineering world, that you have to go slow to go fast to implement solutions. So this is where I found myself throughout my career, that treating hardware teams and software teams the same when it comes to PLM artifacts and processes definitely has its advantages. And what I mean by treating them the same is basically everything about the product and what's delivered to the customer is included as a part number on the bill of material, right? The bill of material is close to my heart. And that enables us to ensure corrective action and change control processes can be applied uniformly, regardless of if it's a hardware thing we're fixing or a software thing we're fixing. And then that process just helps to catch and control all of the details related to change. And it also then puts at front and center in the control process is a change review board, right? So there's the cognizant experts assessing the breadth of change, whether it's software and hardware and technical documentation, training, collateral, right? All of those factors that when a developer is developing, doesn't necessarily keep in focus. And then the cross-functional team can determine a robust implementation plan. And then the PLM system enables us to track those implementation activities to ensure we have a closed loop process.
So now you mentioned the customer ultimately doesn't care hardware, software, it just wants the product to work. But historically, hardware teams and software teams are using different systems to deliver their portion of the product. So from an IT perspective, how do you bring that all together into a unified product if they're using different systems to develop their products?
Right. So essentially, and again, I like to think of, we have authoring systems and we have distribution systems and change control systems. So the developers can develop in their favorite authoring tool. But what we build is a process that says, that's great, but you can't deliver the solution until you go through the change control system. And then we build triggers out of the change control system to make the delivery happen through the implementation activities. And with software, that's going to be really cool and slick. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of automation there for sure. But the PLM system is going to be, is the heart of the trigger that says it's good to go.
Okay. Okay. And then on a similar vein, how about user experience? How do you ensure a seamless user experience when you're crossing across hardware and software?
Right. So I think what's interesting about that for sure is users. What's interesting about that is the hardware users have been in the PLM system for decades now, right? They understand that in order to get their part numbers and their bills and material, they go through the PLM system. So we work to make them very, very competent users for sure. The software users are going to, we work really hard to ensure the lightest touch possible within the PLM system for them. Just because they're not in that tool regularly, we will probably have focused resources supporting them. And then the other topic in discussions that Alert specifically is how do we integrate their development tools into the PLM system? So again, there can be triggers that create items and create change orders, because basically they're just going through a very rote process to do that. So can we automate those solutions as well? So those are the areas of focus that we have for the users.
So, I want to change course here a little bit. When we sell to B2B companies, a lot of times we hear for them that the speed of getting their products to market is just vital.
Right.
Some of our consumer companies don't see that. You know, they sell Q4 over the holidays. They just, you know, build back to that timeline. But the B2B companies, the sooner they get their product in market, the faster they're able to gain market share, you know, box out competitors. So, you know, from an IT perspective, do you see the systems that you deploy helping you get that accelerated time to market?
Right. So I'm sure that I'm biased, but from my perspective, the effective use of the systems I'm responsible for are the only way to really accelerate time to market. Right. And it's my team, and I've got a team of really great resources that brings together the system capabilities with an effective process and a training curriculum to ensure that all of our employees are well-versed in how to use the system and the process, and that can provide a definite competitive advantage, right? Successful product development continues to demand highly functioning teams from many organizations to execute responsibilities very deliberately. So whether you're using an agile or waterfall development framework, there are many moving parts that need to be orchestrated, and they are all dependent on one another, right? We all know these things. So without a thoughtfully architected business system that can seamlessly facilitate the handoffs between these different stakeholders, and that requires processes and policies to ensure data integrity. Otherwise, the intention of the development gets lost between stakeholders, communication becomes very unreliable, and then the ability to recreate a success is very difficult. So I like to think of my group, right, we're the lubrication that make for smooth, reliable operation of the system, of the business. And without my team and the systems and processes they work so diligently to develop and roll out, there's a lot of friction, which makes it really difficult to do business.
So I love this lubrication analogy. And you talked about people processes. How has your ability to lubricate those, bring them together, harmonize them, simplify, how has that evolved as you've transitioned from on-prem to cloud solutions? You know, what can you do more of to deliver value as you've gone through this transformation?
So I think really, you know, I think what we can deliver more of in a faster, it's really the business intelligence. So business intelligence is definitely an area, but having, as you said, I've been through this evolution starting from on-prem to cloud. And I started when I was 12, just so we're clear on that. Right?
I'm in the same boat, so I'm fine signing up for that as well.
So the biggest challenge back to those on-prem solutions was really making time to do an upgrade. In my experience, unless there was a production down hot fix needed, upgrades were always a kick the can activity, because whether it was true or not, they always seemed time intensive and fraught with risk. And that became especially acute when you were a few releases behind, right? So what I love about cloud and the SaaS providers that we were all transitioning to now is these opt-in upgrades. They, rather than just going to a presentation or a webinar to say, hey, Dario's gonna show us the cool features that are available in the next release, right? We get these in our sandbox delivered on a regular schedule, and we can go in and we can touch them and we can feel them and we can be like, yes, this is the value that we were expecting, right? It makes it really important that I have a nimble organization that can document, make process document updates and training for our workforce. But because we can align around your known release schedule, it just enables us to continue to improve our approaches and performance at a pace that has just never been realistic in the past, right? The upgrades are easy. You don't have to get four different groups of IT involved. And so that's just fantastic. And then again, back to business intelligence, right? These tools have just really skyrocketed in terms of being able to pull from so many sources and create these reports and graphics that make your data finally tell a story. So you can make business decisions in real time, and there's definite value to the organization there.
Okay. So thinking about the automatic upgrades, which can be changing in, you know, functionality, capabilities for the end users, not to mention when you're changing an entire system itself, going from say an on-prem to a cloud, or even switching cloud to cloud, we always tend to see a certain percentage of organizations where there's resistance to change. I've done this 20 years, you know, the other people who started at 12, like you and I, you know, and they don't want to do it a different way. And you as an IT leader, I think, you know, IT tends to be on the forefront. There's always a better way. There's always a modern way, to your point, automatic updates. We no longer have to shut everything down to keep it up and running. How great is this? We can just keep rolling as we improve over time. Absolutely. But how do you deal with the people who are more resistant to change? You know, how do you get over this natural resistance and make sure that they see the benefits?
Right. So I think what's really important, I've always had success by ensuring that I had a core team of users, right? IT has to partner with the business users, and very specifically looking for those business users who are also forward thinking, right? They might be 1% of the user community, right? It's the whole, who are the early adopters? But always seeking out and cultivating relationships with those folks in the business who really want to fix longstanding issues, want to make the process more efficient and more cost-effective, right? What's great about these people is not only are they critical about the existing process, when you're developing a new process, they're also going to be critical. So you're going to end up with a much better product. And then they are also your front line of defense into rolling these changes into the organization, right? So they need to be well-respected peers within their discipline who have the ability to get folks to really appreciate what they're saying and trust in them, right? And so then when it comes to making these changes and making things better, but it's change, so you can't, and it's cliche, but you can't over-communicate, right? And you have to take the time to train and provide the support during the transition process that these users have, right? I find that the resistance to change is really a resistance to becoming less competent and being perceived as being slower. In my time of doing a lot of different upgrades and changes, management doesn't perceive it that way, but users always feel like it's going to be perceived that way. So there are two mantras that I just like to say again and again and again, right? Worse before better. Don't worry, guys. We know we're going to take a little step back, but in the end, we're going to be way better off than we are today. Make sure you can explain the better in terms that everyone understands and appreciates. And then my favorite mantra is, it will be okay. Right. And again, just partnering with folks across the business who can see the vision and help you carry it forward.
So you mentioned management in that last answer, and let's carve them out a little bit separately here. Do you see some of the same resistance to change from a CEO, from a CFO, or maybe it's, you know, resistance to an investment? And if so, how do you overcome that?
So I absolutely have seen that in my career for sure. I think Alert, and one of the reasons that I was really drawn to Alert is that it's a new company. We're in the very beginnings of our journey to put governance in place when it comes to our systems and the tools that we use. The leadership team in the beginning was very deliberate to ensure that the development teams had what they needed to be successful. So much so that we have a bit of a tool sprawl problem at this point. And we know that governance and value are key factors to the tools we're going to keep in the long term. And as we mature, I see my role as being the advocate for the user community, ensuring they understand the value the tool is going to give them, and then working really hard to make sure they're competent and capable of providing that value so we can go to the IT steering committee, put together an ROI and a business plan, and realize the results.
Okay. So I want to tie this back then. You've got your users, you've got your investment thesis, and we discussed ultimately it's up to you to deliver, you know, the seamless IT stack and a solution that's going to help you develop these products, whether it's the hardware, the software. You know, when you think through standalone cloud versus industry cloud, does having, you know, whether it's a single platform or whether it's systems that were intended to interlock as an industry cloud would, do you think that that makes your life easier on this front?
I think that we're just in the beginnings of sorting through all of that at Alert specifically. You know, I think we have somewhat of a unique circumstance in what we're trying to deliver. And I don't want to stitch together a ton of very disparate systems to try to get a piece of the best everywhere. So I can absolutely see how the industry cloud is going to be something that we look forward to in the future. So that, I think that's where we're at right now when it comes to those solutions.
Okay. And then one last question here, long-term vision for Alert Innovation. Again, I love that tagline. So I know you have a lot coming down the pipeline, not sure what you can or cannot share, but what do you see as Alert's long-term vision, and what role is your team going to play in that?
Yeah, so I think from my perspective, what I think of is our vision at Alert is to bring cost-effective automated fulfillment solutions to every application where they fit. So today we're focused in grocery for sure. My team's role in all of this is to build and maintain the systems and business processes that provide the organization with 100% of the information required that's 100% accurate the moment it's needed. So that's what we're working really hard to put in place.
Excellent. All right, those are all the questions that we had for today. Heather Maltop, Vice President, Information Systems and Product Change Processes at Alert Innovation. Heather, where should people go if they want to learn more about Alert? And again, I think you're doing amazing things. So where can they find a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so we're pretty active on LinkedIn, and our website's got some awesome videos at alertinnovation.com.
Perfect. Heather, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dario. I've really enjoyed this.
Same here.
Thank you for listening to the Platform Rules Digital Transformation for Product Companies. You can listen to this show and more at propelplm.com/podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, please share with a colleague, leave a review, or email us at podcast@propelplm.com with any feedback or questions. Until next time, Platform Rules.